Warning, the following broadcast is offensive, marginally funny, and contains no education value whatsoever. It is intended for immature audiences only. It's the White Riot Show. Listen in as Big Fat John and Judo Larry M. talk about whatever they damn well want to talk about. So, turn up the volume, clean the shit out of your ears, and get ready to be entertained. Because we're ready to riot right now.
That's right, it's the White Riot Show, here once again to enlighten, educate, and entertain, not necessarily in that order. This is your host, Big Fat John.
And Judah Larry M.
Here again, as we said, to entertain Judah Larry M. We're about to engage in one of our favorite activities, which is always going to be commenting on what's happening in the world. Hopefully we can bring some edumacation into people's lives and also some laughs.
That's right, but before we get to it.
What's that?
You got a pimp.
You like that activity even more than the blumpkins that occasionally I have to give you.
The taint.
Yes.
The taint cream, no matter what it is, because I love putting the show out there. Because every week,
the
people we pick up, see, you give me a hard time, but the fact is, without pimping, you wouldn't be blowing up.
It's all about the
pimping. You wouldn't have people in India. You wouldn't have people in the Middle East.
That's right.
You wouldn't have people in Liechtenstein.
Right.
I got you on that one. You do be the green one.
Well, Judo Larium is correct, of course. We love our fans. We love our listeners. And the best way they can interact with us after listening to this very program is by going on all the major social media venues. You go to twitter.com/White Riot Show. You watch me and Judo Larry M. troll Democrats, liberals, Republicans, and other ne'er-do-wells right there on twitter.com, where we actually, it seems, Judo Larry M., the meaner we get with people, the more they want to follow us.
Yeah, well, that's the it's the antagonism part.
Yes, it's the bad boy image.
Yes, when you go after people, they feel a need to come after you, baby.
Yes, poppy.
White is the color of our carpet.
Coming here.
Pussy liberals.
Oh, we're going to do this? It's going to be Reference Thursday? Okay, that was from the producers.
Yes.
Carmen Gia, the producer, right?
Carmen Gia.
There you go. White is the color of our carpet. But anyway, so go to twitter.com/White Riot Show. You can become a follower of the White Riot Show. We'd appreciate that. You can also go to facebook.com/White Riot Show. It's also one of the spots on facebook.com where we put up our latest episodes and riotous clips. Of course, riotous clips is what Judo Larry M. is all about.
It's what I live for.
He lives for the riotous clips.
That and the 1 minute, just anything.
Just anything.
Well, every now and then when I need a quick funny and a quick pick-me-up.
Well, it's better than the quick handy you usually get on Friday evenings.
We're not doing that on Thursday.
Okay. Like I said, Friday evenings. But also, you could go to youtube.com/White Riot Show. You could catch all our stuff if you prefer YouTube. You can also go to iTunes or Stitcher.com. Just search for White Riot Show. It's all there. And, of course, if you have any doubt about where to go, the natural place to go, whiteriotshow.com. Okay, Judo Larry M., that's the pimping for now.
Is that all of it?
Yeah, we'll do it again later in the show.
All right.
But for right now, you know, there's this topic that I want to get to. We didn't get to it during last week's show, but it's pervasive. I want to know your thoughts about these killer drones that the Obama administration has decided to unleash on the world. And we're not going to blame necessarily Obama for the initiation of this program, but he's expanded it. I think he's ordered more strikes than Bush did at this point.
He's like quadrupled it.
Yeah, it's amazing.
And you know what the funny thing is? What's the person that? Who really pushed it in this administration is stupid Biden.
Yeah.
You know, he's the one that, if you remember when...
Well, is that... I'm sorry. Is that a good thing or a bad thing, in your opinion, the use of these drones? So let's break it up. Let's talk about the military use of drones right now. And for those that are a little bit unsure what this is basically unmanned... miniature planes, semi-miniature planes that typically will have a missile or two on them.
Right.
And you send them, and it's like playing Nintendo or Xbox or something. Somebody flies these things from far, far away. There's no humans involved anywhere near the drone. And it flies, and it has a radar, it has a camera.
Right.
And it flies until it finds its target. And it's not like a guided missile because you can control it. You know, there is human intuition involved in the sense of where to go, whether to confirm.
Well, I saw one thing on the news they were talking about. They showed the guys doing it from some base like outside in Nevada.
Yeah. It's unbelievable, right? But it's being used. So it's been used to take out terrorist leaders, enemy combatants and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
So let me ask you, how do you feel about its use as a military option?
Okay. As a military option, I think it's excellent.
Right.
I mean, I really do. I mean, I just, right. I don't even begin to see the downside of it.
Right.
I mean, usually when you hear about the downside of the drones at all, usually it's just somebody who's concerned that we're doing these and we're in other people's like airspace or violating their sovereignty. And maybe the government's over there, Pakistan, whatever, right. object to us doing it. But I mean, as far as nobody on our side gets killed.
Right.
They are incredibly accurate.
Right.
They have taken
well,
out.
Well, are
some
they? I'm sorry. I'm going to challenge you a little bit at that. Are they incredibly accurate? Because
that's
you hear
my
all.
Understanding.
Well, you hear these reports about kids being killed and civilians and things like that.
But they don't count.
Oh, they don't.
No, I know. I've heard that. But
you mean as long as they're not white people that they're accidentally killing?
Well, but you know, I think that for most part, it's hitting the targets that they're going right. after. So, but I understand that there has been some collateral damage.
But you don't give a fuck, right? Because I mean, is it sort of like
that way? But
no, but I mean, is it your opinion that if you're going into Afghanistan or you're going into Iraq or wherever? That in essence, I'm assuming, I don't mean to talk from you, but is it that you just view these guys as the enemy, and if their civilian population gets in the way, it's just like they went after our civilians on 9/11 and whatnot?
Well, no, because my understanding is that we actually do try to avoid civilians, and a lot of the drones have gone into these strange tribal areas on the Afghan-Pakistan border,
right.
border, which is like the moon.
Right.
And you know, the idea that a lot of women and children getting wiped out here, I just don't buy it.
Right.
So,
there's been a few, though. I mean, you would probably give us that, right?
I'm not saying that 100% have been fired and 100% only dirtbag terrorists
right,
have been killed.
Right.
No, of course not. But for the most part, they are very accurate. They usually hit the targets that are sighted
right.
and that they're directed to. The fact that nobody on our side gets killed to
right.
me is fantastic. And since we have this technological advantage, we should use it. We're not responsible for fighting on their level just because they're
agree.
In the Stone Age.
No, that's cool. But let me ask you this now. What about the claims that the drone program is really just a sophisticated assassination program?
No,
and
is.
That assassinations are, I mean, we're not allowed to assassinate.
No, we're not allowed to kill foreign leaders and like presidents and
right.
like you can't go down to Venezuela and just kill Chavez
right.
even though cancer's doing it for us.
But right.
You can't just do that.
Right.
In other words, that's what we are legally
right.
restricted to doing. You just can't go down and kill Castro. You just can't go and like kill Putin. You can't do that.
Right.
Killing these idiots just hiding out in the mountains, that's just part of a war.
You view it as military. Okay, so fair enough. And I tend to agree with you on that one. If it's war, whether it's a declaration of war or enemy combatant, any way you want to term it. But what about the case now where you've had Americans who are over there either in support of Al-Qaeda or what about, I forget the guy's name, but the American who had defected to Al-Qaeda, we sent a couple of drones in. They not only killed that guy, but they also killed his son, who was like, I think, a teenager or a
right.
little bit younger. What do you feel about those situations? Like, is it a violation of civil rights of those Americans that they were never given a trial? They were never found guilty of anything. I mean,
right.
look. Common sense.
Common says they are guilty.
They got on TV and said we're going to bomb you, and
right.
you know, and all that. So it's almost self-evident in that case, and I'm almost willing to give you a pass. But you've got guys like Ron Paul. You've got a lot of libertarians in this country and civil libertarians as well that are just like, what the fuck?
Well,
these guys
okay.
were never given a trial. They never were convicted of anything.
Right.
Why are we
They're
assassinating
right.
them?
Okay. Well, all right. I actually would admit that it is uncomfortable for me, the
right.
idea that we're killing Americans, even if they're Arab Americans.
Right.
And they think they're following their religion.
Right.
And they go over there to join forces to fight us. But I think that there's a little bit of a difference between, you know, somebody who commits a crime, like, yeah, all right, you get arrested, you get your lawyer, and you get due process, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
It's another thing to say that you're going to be with whoever, and you're going to, like, flat out, you're going to be killing Americans. I mean, this is a little bit different than normally what you would associate with civil rights and being given your constitutional rights. But I do understand that it is a little uncomfortable. I'll say that. But I'm not that concerned. I don't want to lie. I'm not that concerned with their rights, because the moment you
right.
go over there and you tell me, you know, we're going to kill you, and you're really not much of an American at that point.
Have you renounced your citizenship?
What's that?
Have you, in your mind, have those guys renounced their citizenship?
Yeah, I mean, this is beyond traitorous. You know, like in American history, you know, usually Benedict Arnold gets the beating for being the douche
right.
traitor. This is probably as bad.
Yeah, but Benedict Arnold had a trial.
Yes.
But it goes hung.
Well, we didn't have drones back then.
But, right, right, right.
Right. But, you know, look, we live in a much dangerous world. We're much more dangerous. Right. World, and it's a different dynamic right now. But I like I said, it is a little uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You know, the idea that you're killing Americans. But look, if they're over there helping those guys, they have to just be considered, at this point, they have to be considered war combatants. And if they get killed by a drone, too, I'm going to tell you right now, I understand a lot of my fellow libertarians.
Right.
I mean, look, I don't claim to be 100% libertarian, maybe 90-something. This is the kind of thing that if you're over there helping them, yeah, fuck you. Let the drone kill you.
Right. But here's my point. And I listen, I tend to agree with you, but here's my thing. A couple of years ago when these little whispers were coming up about the drones killing Americans and potentially these being assassinations without trial and things like that, that the president, in essence, was acting as judge, jury, and executioner.
Right.
But let me ask you this. A couple of years ago, somebody may have argued that this was the beginning of a slippery slope. And generally, I hate slippery slope arguments because it almost removes the concept of common sense or restraint.
Right.
But in this particular case,
and it tends not to happen.
Right. But I very vividly remember a couple of years ago, all the civil libertarians saying that this is a slippery slope. If you're allowed to do this to citizens overseas, it's not a short leap to say, let's do it to people on our own soil.
Right.
And what we're finding out now is these proposals to have unmanned drones in the United States.
Yeah.
Now, right now, they're saying for surveillance, which even that I'm kind of creeped out about, to be honest with you.
No, I wouldn't be okay with that.
But it's happening, brother.
Yes, I know that. Well, that's another question, and that I'm not comfortable with. I mean, if you're telling me you're fighting a war,
right,
and you're killing enemy combatants, over, right, even if they officially are registered, right, U.S. citizens, I'm okay with that. Using them over here to find like some idiot hiding in Montana or Nebraska.
Yeah, like if you're looking for these militias or whatever that are not illegal, but people
I'm also against the Patriot Act. So I mean, like,
I'm against the Patriot Act as well. Yeah,
domestic things like that. It's a different thing. And,
right.
And besides, they have other ways of tracking these people. But you can infiltrate them. There's a lot of them are in jail.
All right, but like you said, the drone is maybe the latest tool that allows you to do it. But the underlying concept is the same, that people who have not been tried, who have not been given a court order, do not have the government does not necessarily get warrants in all these cases.
Right.
Like right now, what's the process? If someone wants to tap your phone line, let's say someone looks at your name, your last name, figures out that it's Italian, and they think you're in the mob. Now, in order for them to track what you say, what you do, who you associate with, they have to go to a judge.
Right.
Present probable cause, and the judge has to sign a warrant.
They get a warrant.
And then they can phone tap you and shit like that.
Right.
This removes even that judge, which in most cases was a rubber stamp. Let's be honest. If you had a good relationship with the judge, I was just about to say that. Yeah. But now even that little bit of a bump in the road has been removed.
Potentially. Because the government can just send this drone out and fly around North Dakota and see what white supremacists are.
They can fly around Long Island right here in New York. They can fly over Brooklyn or whatever, and they could start looking for things, you know, and recording people you know.
But I don't think they need drones to do that, though.
No, but it makes their life easier, like you said, for the same reasons.
Yeah.
I mean, let's say you park a drone over a mosque.
Cool.
Yeah, I have no problem with it. Fuck them. Okay. No, but I mean, what I'm trying to say is I'm more concerned about the lack of due process that it will allow, whether it's drones, and to expand it to the Patriot Act, the wiretaps, the tracking of emails and things like that. You know, brother, 5 years ago, I would have said this was Big Brother paranoia. Now I'm starting to tune into a lot of these like libertarians and anarchists on the left, actually, as well, who just...
Yeah, well, libertarians have been out in front of this for a long time. I mean, they always use the example of all the cameras there are in London.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they just watch everything.
Right.
There's really not a block you can walk in London that doesn't have a camera.
On the other hand,
they also fight a lot of crime and they've caught a lot of people and, you know, it helps them to... They found that one... I remember that car bomb that in London?
Yeah.
They found that because they had footage of it. They actually watched it parking the car and doing it.
Well, here in New York in Times Square, they caught that one guy a couple of years ago who tried to bomb the police station and rode away on a bike and they were able to track him
through
a series of cameras, you know. But it's one of those things that at some point, I mean, when it works and people get... And you say... Yeah, obviously that's the case where it works. But how much of that is just other surveillance, like who you're seeing, where you've been, where you spend your money,
and, right?
You
know, well, I mean, those things. I'm already
fucking creeped out when I go to the bank, and if I ask to take 15 grand out of my account, they want to know where it's going, why I'm taking it out.
Right.
Fuck you! It's my money. Yeah. Why do you need to know where I'm taking? Maybe I'm going to get blown by 20 different whores. Maybe that's what I'm after. Go fuck yourself. Maybe I don't want my wife to find out. Maybe that's why I'm taking it out in $100 bills. You cocksucker.
Which is why he takes the money.
Seriously. Whenever they ask me now, that's what I tell them.
When you take out large sums now, they actually ask you. I actually got a phone call one
time. Yeah. Yeah.
After a very large charge went through.
Yeah. And the charge is also like because they think they want to make sure it hasn't been fraud. But I hear you. But I'm like, why do you need to know where I'm taking cash? Maybe I want to shove them up some chick's twat in Atlantic City.
Maybe I hate your bank and I feel like putting in a mattress.
You know what I tell them now?
Right.
I just tell them, I said, I'm going to Vegas and I'm planning on getting plenty of whores.
And their reaction is?
They just stare at me.
They just stare at you.
What are they going to do? I told them an answer. Let them investigate. Cocksuckers. Why? What's the point? That kind of shit, as I've been getting older, Larry, I cannot tolerate any of that shit. People wanting to know what I do. Seriously, I always respected cops and everything, but this whole thing about when one walks up to you in the street and says, where you going, what you doing?
Yeah.
What's it to you?
No, I know. Look, that's that. What have I been bitching about since like the 80s? The shows, the Springer, Maury Povich, people going on talking about their problems. Yeah. Everybody knows. Everybody thinking they have the right to know.
Yeah.
Dude, that's what happens when you lose any respect for privacy.
Right.
Forget even constitutionalism. Just the fact that people don't respect any personal space at all.
Right.
Who you're screwing and what you're spending money on. This is nobody's business. If you want to volunteer the information. That's another story.
Right.
If I'm sitting around and you start like annoying me to find out what I'm doing, if I don't want you to know that, that's wrong. But if I sit here and go, hey, guess what I did Saturday and guess who I did? Like, all right. That's fine. Obviously, then it's cool because I'm telling you.
Right,
I mean,
you
can't stop me from volunteering.
Right.
I mean, yeah.
But this whole thing of people thinking they have a right to know what you're doing, what you're feeling, where you're going, where your money's going. Go fuck yourselves.
That's been an obnoxious trend since the 90s.
Oh, my God.
And I'm not kidding. All those shows are what broke the barrier. I'm not kidding. Ricky Lake and these stupid. You have to remember, back in the 90s, there were like a million of them.
Oh, sure. And there's still a million of them.
No, but really, that was their boom. There was that one Jenny Jones and Montana. All it was people just blithering on about their personal problems. You know, the Eagles have a great song called Get Over It, which is basically Don Henley is so annoyed with people like this. And he wrote this whole song just saying like, what's wrong with you? But like, you go on and talk about your personal shit.
Right.
And that's horrible, but that's what it is. Okay, I mean, look, and it's too easy for the government as it is to find out what you're doing.
No, fuck the government. I mean this in the sincerest way possible.
Now they're gonna follow you.
Yeah, I can't. I. To me, everything that goes hand in hand with the utter dependency on the state, the fact that the government fosters this dependency. Now, you could think I'm being too right-wing paranoid or whatever, but the truth of the matter is, look at what Obama has been proposing, Judah Larium. He wants universal pre-K schooling. He wants to be able to get to these toddlers as soon as they can crawl, to be able to start tracking them and figuring out what they do and what they think and where they're going. It's not just Obama. It's everybody in government, Republicans and Democrats alike.
Right,
I can't blame this on any one party.
Right, now they're doing it with guns.
Yeah, they're just interested in the government having its tentacles in fucking every aspect of your life. They are already, but at least there's some of us who still retain some sort of ambition, some get up and go. You know what I mean? It's not, we're atrophying as a nation right now. We're going to be worse than fucking Greece, worse than Spain, Portugal, Ireland, all these fucking loser countries. We're going to be worse than any of them. The Chinese are going to take over the world and they won't have to fire a single shot.
Yeah.
They're just going to work harder than the rest of us. The same way America took over for the most
part. They have a lot of problems though, the Chinese.
They do, but at least they're willing to work through them. Do you know what I mean? Nobody in China is born with expectations. Seriously, I know it sounds fucked up, but I doubt if anyone in China is born saying, you know what, I deserve a fucking free ride. I deserve a sandwich every Thursday.
Not. No, but that's a very Western thing.
Agreed.
Not
agreed.
Just America. That's a very Western thing.
No, I agree. And America's
unfortunately, the wealth does it to you. This being spoiled does it to you. But the only thing that always keep America, I think, a little bit ahead of every other country is we always seem to have, even in these days, we have like a thriving entrepreneurial
No, you
class,
have 10 people out of every 1,000. You have one out of every 100 that has that spiritual Larry-M. We've all been placed on the road to serfdom, to steal from Hayek. We've all been placed on this road to serfdom, and it all comes under the guise of helping us out.
Yeah.
It's the most insidious government takeover strategy of all, which is they come at you with a smile and with a check in their fucking hand. Oh, universal health care. Give us all your guns. We'll keep you safe.
Right.
Come to us, and we'll give you your vaccines.
Yeah, let us know what your three-year-old kid is doing.
Yeah, let us teach your kids, because we know what's best. Not you parents.
Yeah,
we know what's best.
Yeah.
What? You may have to struggle to achieve what you want? Listen, all you have to do is lower your expectations, and we'll fulfill it for you.
Yeah.
Why do we need that shit?
We'll tax you some more, and we'll take care of everything.
Yeah, that's what happens.
Yeah, and I don't want that.
Nobody wants that shit.
But we're already there, though.
Unfortunately, that's what I'm saying. We're not that much better than Europe.
I got to tell you to show that we are balanced in the show. That was also a problem with Bush, though.
It was a problem with Bush.
He didn't govern like a Republican.
No, he governed like a drunken sailor on shore leave.
Yeah, he did.
He was horrible.
He had like a real, like almost like a real liberal guilt to him, like a real blue blood guilt to him.
Yeah, I don't know if it was guilt or just that he wanted everybody to like him, so he spent money on everything.
Yeah, I know, but Republicans don't do shit like that. I mean,
conservatives / libertarians don't do shit like that.
Yeah,
plenty of Republicans do that shit. The last guy we ran for office does that shit, Romney.
Yeah.
He was going to spend his way into success. I don't understand where assholes like Paul Krugman, any Democrat you can think that you can spend your way into prosperity. You know, like Winston Churchill said, it's like trying to bail yourself out of a sinking ship while you're standing in the bucket or something like that. You know, you can't tax yourself into prosperity. It's that the government is inefficient.
Right.
But the concept that shouldn't be the concept that drives you nuts, Judah Larriam. The concept that drives you nuts should be that the government is stealing from one person to give it to someone else.
Yeah.
It's coercion.
Under the guise of what
they're helping you with a smile on their face.
We're making things better.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, no, but that's where we're going, though.
What do you mean where we're going? We're here.
We're here. Okay, I'll give it up. But that's been the trend in the Western world because of wealth. You know, because there's always going to be a certain amount of people who think, well, if a country creates a lot of wealth, it should be able to take care of its citizens. Like that's it. You know, like, I mean, I understand, like, if you're an individualist, like, you don't want to hear about that. But for other people who just think, like, oh, look, you got the money, like, you know, there are some people who talked about the Obamacare, like, oh, it's such a small portion of, like, what we're going to have to spend. Like, just do it anyway. Just to have it out there. Like, you know, just.
It's one of the. You're absolutely right.
I've always said that, my company, the businesses that I've worked for, like, I get health care. But I'd rather they just didn't tax it, didn't take it from me, just give it to me. I'll go on the market and buy it, like anything else.
Well, you can't have a market in health care because federal law prohibits it.
But that would be a better way to do things.
Oh, of course.
I'll go do it.
Let's be honest. For the most part, we got to 85% coverage in this country through the free market, for the most part. I mean, I know there were, but we said it before, we'll say it again. Healthcare coming from your employer is a relatively new occurrence in this country.
Oh, yeah.
Right? I mean, private employers in the 50s never gave you health insurance.
No.
Right? It's a right that workers fought for and won by value of their services, that when the time came that they were more valuable to their companies than their companies were to them, the companies had to give up benefits as a way of attracting top talent. So it wasn't just salary. It was, we'll take care of you. We'll give you insurance. Right. We'll give you days off, right? So that thing comes naturally. Part of the problem is this instant gratification culture that we have, that we can't see the long-run picture. Here's a perfect example. Look at the sequester that's coming up, right?
Yes.
I've looked at this thing. Why are people against it? It takes away the decision of these assholes in Congress who can't make up their mind on what to cut. Only in Congress can you say that instead of increasing spending 20%, I'm increasing it 18%.
Right.
That's a cut.
Right.
Right? Only Congress can say that.
Right.
Nobody else in their real life who has a budget.
Yeah, can never say it.
Can never say that.
And be taken seriously.
And be taken seriously that I've cut spending. Right. No, you've just haven't increased it as much
you
usually
have. Going to.
You haven't cut shit.
Right.
And this sequester in the long run is, when you look at the numbers, this sequester, we're not talking about a huge cut. It just slows it down. It's meant to be slowed down until you could come up with those targeted cuts. And hey, listen, I'm one of these, national defense guys. The spending that gets hit the hardest is the Defense Department.
Right.
20% of the cuts will hit the Defense Department, which is by far out of proportion to what it takes up, right? So even
well,
in that
20% of our budget.
But it hits defense the hardest. Yeah. By far, to the point where they said they're going to have to furlough workers one day a week. So they're only going to work four and get paid for 4 out of 5 days a week.
Right.
But you know what? I guarantee you they'll still get the same amount of work done.
Oh, probably because they'll have to cram it in.
Yeah, they'll be more efficient, which is what every private enterprise has to do. I could tell you when I've worked at companies and you've had layoffs, right? And they say, okay, you've had 10 people. We got to lay off two.
The remaining people always have to
pick up the slack.
And you just have to do it.
Yeah, because you're not going to give up your business. You're not going to say, well, I gave up 20% of my staff. I have to give up 20% of my clients.
Right.
Nobody ever says that shit.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So, I mean, why can't the government operate the same way that the rest of us do?
But that's never going to be the case. I mean, that's... But, you know,
it's, I
not,
agree it's never going to be the
they're
case.
Really, they're not competing with anyone. They don't have to worry about
bingo,
shit like
thank
that.
Bingo. Thank you, Jude O'Larian.
They don't have to worry about that. Like, what you're talking about companies, well, they have to worry about shit like that. They have to worry about if we're not as efficient, if we're not as cost conscious.
Right.
You know, this will cost us our business. But the government's, unfortunately, it's never going to go out of business. I mean,
they just keep stealing from the people.
Exactly.
Horrible.
Yeah. And now if you were to listen to more Democrats, like, you know, Obama wants to get the tax rates up to what they were in the Clinton era of like 39%, like whatever the hell it was. But the fact is, a lot of other Democrats want it to be higher.
Of course.
There were a few that argued for to get like 50%. Like,
and then surtaxes on millionaires, then 90% of state tax, capital gains, everything. Yeah. It's the only answer to everything right now. And it's a policy of failure when you just say the only way I'm going to make things work is by constantly taking more. What the fuck?
If I thought that they could actually do half the shit that they thought, I'd be fine with paying a little bit more. But you know what? Since they've proven that they have no sense of money and even control themselves,
right?
You know, like what is the point of giving them more money? That's my biggest concern. Like, they talk about, well, we'll just, you know.
But you see, here's my problem. Even if some asshole like Paul Krugman, and I keep calling him an asshole because I think he is an asshole,
he's a jerk off.
But even if Paul Krugman were to somehow prove to me, and he hasn't yet, by the way, that the minimum wage works, that the Equal Pay for Equal Work Act actually works, if he could prove to me that any of this Keynesian bullshit still works, even if he could do it, he hasn't done it yet, nobody has, but if you can prove to me that it actually worked, I would still be against it, because at its fundamental core, it involves coercion. It involves the government taking from you forcibly the fruit of your labor and reallocating it to someone else. At the core of it. Yeah. Even if you prove to me that Keynesianism works.
Yeah, even if it solved all our problems. I saw him the other week on.
Yeah,
he was
horrible.
Being interviewed by Maria Bartiromo.
Yeah.
And he was going on, and it was just, you know, the taxes should be higher, we should pay more. And the other thing which cracks me up, and he has a book out about it now. He says that the debt really isn't a problem.
No.
You know why it's not a problem? Because it's money we owe to ourselves.
Right.
That's what he'd say. He goes, it's not like when you have credit card debt, you owe it to somebody else and it can drown you. And this, he goes, we can actually just keep going on with this forever.
But you see, that's the problem with that type of thinking. It's not money you owe to yourself, because I didn't incur that debt.
Right.
And you're forcing me to incur this debt.
Right.
I agree with him in the sense that, look, many entrepreneurs have incurred debt in order to produce something. Like, very few entrepreneurs are given $1 million to start a business.
No.
A lot of them have to borrow it. They have to raise it. You know, whatever. Mm-hmm. They have to work until they have enough to then invest in that capital, right?
Right.
But they've made the decision to go into debt. If they fail, they're the ones suffering the loss.
Right.
That's the beauty of capitalism.
They don't pass it on to the rest of the taxpaying.
What Krugman very obviously, I think, forgets is, again, the other half of the Keynesian problem, which is, where does this fucking wealth come from? Where does the economic counterbalance to all the shit you're spending come from?
When Apple invents a new product, they're creating an economic value.
When they put out a new iPad, a new iPhone.
Right.
When the government says, oh, here's a ditch, fill it up. And then when they're done, they say, empty it out and fill it up again. It's okay because we're paying people to do it, which puts money in the economy, pushes like wealth through the slop.
And all of a sudden, now you've got things moving.
Well, where did that fucking money come from?
Yeah, they're fleecing people who are doing well.
Yeah.
And who are successful.
And that's the ultimate failure of socialism, Keynesianism, whatever you want to fucking call it, statism,
well,
whatever it
Margaret
is.
Margaret Thatcher said eventually with socialism, you run out of other people's money to spend. Yeah, yeah, which is absolutely true.
Yeah, and then it's the equal sharing of misery, which is a Winston Churchill quote, right? It's the equal sharing of misery. That if you're willing to say, hey, Judah Lariam, I'll take half your money, and if you're willing to be like every other slob that didn't have that half, you know, that, you know, then you'll be okay. Because right. Now you've lowered your bar, your expectation. Well, any parent will tell you, lower expectations on your child, and guess what they'll do? More than
slobs.
Likely, yeah, they're going to just work to your lowered expectations. Very few of them will ever work past expectations. It's just human nature.
Right.
And again, I have no problem if someone wants to be a beach bum, a fucking dirty hippie. Do whatever you want. I don't give a fuck. You want to live
right,
paycheck to paycheck?
Just
you want
don't to, tell me I have to pay
yeah,
for it.
You want to go beg for money on the streets because you're too lazy to work? Go do it. I have no fucking problem with that.
Yeah.
That's why I think, like, you know, I'm not against prostitution or anything. You want to earn money? Go ahead. I have no... why is prostitution illegal?
Oh, I have no idea.
Go create a service. It's the easiest service you can create and earn some money with.
I mean, you know me and dealing with people's vices. Right? Prostitution,
right.
Drinking, gambling, why are they drugs? I know drugs is a touchier topic, but I would just let people
do whatever they want.
Do whatever they want. I really would. I mean, I realize a lot of people can make a lot of bad decisions, but, you know, I just, as long as I don't have to pay for it.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're not violating my rights. Well, yeah. Why would I care? I
mean, as long as you have, say gambling's a great one, because I think Jersey is trying to... pass online gambling, which I think is a great idea.
Oh, sure.
The only thing with online gambling that you have to make sure is that it's a fair game.
Yeah,
right?
How can you do that, though?
Well, you make laws very, very harsh for people who violate that. And listen, as a first step, even though I hate the word, I'm even willing to let government regulate it.
Mm.
In the sense, just to get it up and running like it used to be. I hate regulation.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But at least if people had that option, like, what is wrong with someone who makes his living as a poker player? What's wrong with that?
Why is that any different than being a day trader?
Absolutely. Or just anything. If you're good at it, if you enjoy it, if you can make a living at
exactly.
it, or even if you can't make a living at it,
who the fuck am I
to tell you not to do it?
Exactly. If I want to quit all my jobs,
right.
anything I do, security, anything I want to do,
right.
if I quit tomorrow,
right.
and I want to sit on my computer and play poker all day,
right.
and let's say, for the sake of argument, I manage to make $200,000 a year and it's enough
right.
for me to live on, mind your fucking business.
Or even if you want to live off $20,000,
right.
live like a bum, but you like no responsibility and you just enjoy playing poker, why the fuck not?
Yep.
Why? You're forcing your view on what this person should enjoy.
Exactly.
So online poker, gambling, fucking sports betting, whatever you want. I don't give a fuck. As long as it's, we are a nation of laws. So if the law says it has to be a fair game, people get paid. That you don't just have some, like, a phone that just collects your money and when you win goes, fuck you.
Well, that's fair.
Yeah, right? Well, yeah.
It's fair for my tribe. It's not fair for us, you faggots.
Wasn't that in Casino when, what's his face?
Pesci?
Pesci goes, he had the best racket he would bet, and when he won, and when he lost, he wouldn't pay them, so he won again.
You won again, yeah.
It's like, whatever. But I mean, as long as you're avoiding those types of situations, obviously
right.
where there's organized crime, there's intent to defraud,
right.
there's
right.
intent to cheat.
If the game is fair, then
why not?
Why should I try to stop you?
Why not? I don't understand where people get off trying to regulate their morality. By the way, I have no problem with having a Gamblers Anonymous. I have no problem if there's people online.
But that's always been my argument.
Right, who are trying
to... You can't legislate morality.
No, you can't.
Because it bounces from individual to individual.
Right.
I mean, I'm sure there might be somebody listening right now that hates gambling, hates prostitution,
right.
hates drugs, hates
yeah.
drinking, hates cigarettes.
Right.
You know, and like they're probably thinking, no, all these things should be illegal.
But
probably
you know
thinks
what?
The seatbelt law is a good idea.
I mean, welcome them into the conservative / libertarian view. As long as they keep it to themselves.
Yeah, but the problem, and this is the knock that Republicans always get hammered with, they don't do that. it's never been enough for them to just be like, well, I don't like those things. They always have to try and impose it on everybody else.
Right.
They've always got to try and pass laws to change things for something else. You know, like, that's the big problem there, that there's that sense of, not only do I think this is bad, I think it's bad for everyone. It's like their own version of the nanny state.
Right.
Like, you really, you know, the drinking and the hookers, like, you shouldn't be doing that.
Right.
Like,
and listen, please, as long as
just
they don't
let people do what they want to
do. Right. As long as there's no laws, if you want to get in my face and try to convince me that I shouldn't go get Blumpkins in Toronto or whatever.
Woo.
Not that I've done it, but I'm just saying, if I were to go get Blumpkins in Toronto.
I'm not saying I have pictures on my iPod. Go ahead.
I should be allowed to do that.
Yes, you should.
Now, if you want to convince me otherwise, feel free. Let's have an exchange of ideas. That's how I learn. By people talking to me, by people having a conversation with me, by picking up a book, by experiencing something. You know, there's different ways of learning. So I have no problem, you know? You know, if that's what you want to do, let's do it, Judah Lariam.
Yes, absolutely.
Why can't we do that? That's basically what led this country to its greatest success, to its greatest innovation, to its greatest prosperity. It was a bunch of rugged individuals somehow managed this balance between doing whatever the fuck I want and still having some sense of society to go towards the greater good. And I know it sounds almost contradictory, but we could be a group of individuals. It sounds contradictory, but we could be a group of individuals. You know, obviously you can't do that in the army. You can't do that in the Navy or whatever, or on the police force. But if you're a citizen, you could be an individual and still care about your community.
Absolutely.
You could be an individual and still care about society.
The strongest individual is the best part of a group.
Yeah.
I mean, like a sports team.
Exactly.
Like a team is, you know, you're always better off with an Eli or a Brady, or, you know, it helps the rest. It helps.
Right.
It actually helps the collective.
Right.
It actually helps them. Not trying to mold them into a piece of silly putty shit like everybody else.
Well, that's even perfect. Like, what? You can't. Not everybody can be Tom Brady. Not everybody can be Eli Manning or Aaron Rodgers or whatever.
Some people have to stand on the sidewalk and watch the parade go by.
Exactly. Well, thank you very much. That's very good. Yeah, but absolutely. So this whole concept of, like, oh, we're going to legislate morality. And you know what? It's even more insidious because they legislate morality through the tax system.
Yes.
Why are cigarettes taxed more than other products? Why is gambling when you do gamble? Why are those things taxed more? Because they're why do you get a tax break for being married? Why do you get a tax break for owning your own home?
Right.
Right? One is positive reinforcement. The other one is negative reinforcement.
Right.
How about we just treat everything equally?
Yep.
What the fuck?
But that's always been my argument.
Yeah. Like the flat tax, everything needs to be flat. It needs to be fair. It shouldn't be discriminated by class, by income, by preference, whatever.
Yeah.
Why are we? Listen, if you don't know the dangers about smoking, fine. I'll go along with the fairness in advertising kind of concept. That on the pack of cigarettes, you force them to put a label that says this shit will kill you. Or there's a good chance this shit will give you cancer and emphysema and you will die because of this.
I have no problem with that.
I have no problem with that. But at the same time, it's fucking legal. So why are you taxing it?
Well, they do it for two reasons. Number one, it's a huge source of revenue.
Of course.
Number two, they are trying to discourage you. And they think that the economic discouragement will, like, you know, obviously, if it gets to the point where it costs like $1 million for a pack of cigarettes, you might rationalize, well, I can't do this anymore.
Right.
You know, so that's what they're thinking.
But that's wrong.
Of course it is. In reality, it should just be, this is a product, it's legal.
Right.
Even if it's shit.
Right.
You know, and it's this, but again, this isn't surprising. I mean, you see it everywhere. Look at stupid Bloomberg and his 20 fluid ounce, whatever the fuck it is.
New York City Mayor Mike Bloomberg. Yeah. He of the short stature and big lisp.
Let me tell you something.
Not that I'm insinuating that having a lisp and being short and being insecure means anything,
It has nothing to do with cock-a-doodle-doo.
Nothing at all.
Just waking up in the morning.
Nothing. There's nothing to come out of a closet for. That would be horribly wrong for me to insinuate that.
No, but he does that too. You see it now. Also, it's just this whole business that you're going to, like, your thing, that you hate the coercion of behavior.
Right.
You know, like, you have to realize, if people want to do these things, you let them do them.
Right.
You know, like, quite frankly, I mean, I just don't get it. And I know that the reason they do it is because they think if they hit you in the wallet enough,
right,
that's going to make you
go, of course.
Well, you know, I'm not going to do this. And,
yeah.
You know, look, just leave people the fuck alone.
Well, it's the same reason. And it's not just behavior. It's also productization. For example, I don't believe in higher taxes, say, for gasoline-powered vehicles. I know your big thing is let's become more green, let's get alternative sources of energy.
Well,
solar
energy.
And I don't
know how green that
makes
me. But
that makes you pretty green. But my point is that I don't necessarily disagree with you. But I don't think that people who want to run a gas-powered vehicle for whatever reason should be taxed more. There's no reason for that tax.
We've never talked about that. That's a separate issue. I mean, I'm talking about policy.
No, but I'm saying everything.
I'm talking about for the future. You know, like you can only go so far now with just oil and gas. I mean, there's a finite amount of it in the world.
I agree with you.
Plus, I mean, I would dare say it's almost your patriotic duty to get off oil and gas, because guess where most of that money goes to? A part of the world that hates our guts and might be giving it to idiots that we have to shoot drones at.
Right.
So, I mean, there's a reason that, you know, oil is in itself is insidious. But look, if the oil companies want to make their money, I mean, obviously I'm fine with that. But I would like to see us move in a different direction when it comes to like solar and other. Because first off, something like solar energy, we already know it works. There are buildings with solar panels.
But it works very inefficiently. That's the problem. Scientifically speaking, it's very inefficient.
Yeah, but practically speaking, it hasn't gotten the kind of capital behind it needs.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
If it got the kind of push and capital that oil does, come on. I mean, it's not getting the kind of attention it deserves. You can't say that because it's been treated in such a way, like, you're almost talking about it like, well, it hasn't worked like right off the bat. You have to give it time to develop. You have to, you know, there are buildings with solar panels.
There's
a couple of cars that use it. There are people have it on their house, and it actually does work.
Right. I don't disagree with you, and I'm not even saying it doesn't work. I just don't want to see the government run the fucking thing.
All right, that's fine. But the only problem otherwise is that I don't know a lot of... Well, they have like Solyndra and some of that.
There's plenty of solar companies out there.
But look, the money gives all kinds of breaks to oil companies.
And that should stop as well.
Yeah, but it hasn't. So you know what? If they're going to be involved in energy and they're going to try and help our energy policy for the future, look at things. And also the best part about something like solar, let's say if it actually worked out, you're talking about something we can control. We can market it. We can sell it to other countries. There are other, you know, we can use our technology to get it. You won't have to buy oil from those fucking assholes.
I mean,
quite frankly. I mean, and that's their only leverage in this world.
Right. I don't disagree with you. See, my objection is not to the technology. If it's efficient, it'll be efficient. The market will make it efficient, just the way we made more efficient.
Yeah, you don't want the government there. That's fine.
But I agree with you, because if you look at just cars, right, they're becoming more and more fuel efficient. Even before electric hybrids and shit like that. Like, my car's a gas-powered car, and it gets 30 miles a gallon. 10 years ago, I was lucky to get 20.
I don't think cars are becoming more. I mean, quite frankly,
in terms of, of course they are.
I think they're just becoming bigger and sloppy. Like people themselves.
Some are. You do have a lot of people who buy SUVs, which, of course, is typically soccer moms, and we know how I feel about those fucking bitches. But that's just because people don't know how to drive.
No, that's not true. They like it because it's got lots of room for all their kids, all their crap they're carrying.
And they feel safer in it.
And they feel safe. I was going to say, they feel like they're driving a tank.
Right.
But it also gets like 4 miles to the gallon.
Yeah, but those are selling like crazy. They're paying for that.
How many people are buying like...
A lot of people are buying efficient cars, Japanese cars initially, obviously Toyotas and Hyundais and Hondas and things like that.
Well, I mean, America, and you're absolutely right.
America is the producer of the big car, the Ford F-150s, the big Yukons, the Escalade, things like that.
But when you're talking about the future of your country, you have to start looking at like what where are we going to be in a couple? Are we going to continue with oil? Are we going to continue with nuclear? I think
the market figures that out. No. I think the market figures that out. The government's almost never right about anything.
No, I know that. But whether the market's going to do it, I don't know.
The market will do it if there's a market. I mean,
you still have the, you know, look, you have to think about where we're going to be in the future. I don't think we can just keep going with oil and coal and gas. I mean, you know, it's a finite thing. So, plus, you're annoyed that the government's not. I'm annoyed that we spend like $400 or $500 billion a year on gas and it goes overseas. And it goes to countries that don't like us. That annoys me a hell of a lot more than the government being involved in energy policy.
Well, the thing about energy policy as well is it's because the government protects the oil companies. Like, the one thing I will agree with you on, they subsidize oil.
Yes, they do.
They give them tax breaks. They shouldn't do that either. See, I don't believe that. See, to me, to be pro-market and pro-business doesn't mean business gets breaks. I'm all for getting rid of that.
Stupid Democrats are always talking about corporate welfare.
Corporate welfare, get rid of it. Get rid of subsidies. Why are we paying fucking
farmers not to grow shit? Beats the shit out of me.
Why is there a federal law that says that unless other laws are passed, milk becomes $8 a gallon or whatever, which came up during the last go-round,
right?
You know, for the debt ceiling, that if certain things got cut, milk went up like to $6, $8 a gallon minimum. Why do we have that shit? Why is the government trying to put a price on something? That's the very nature of a free market. Individuals free to set their own prices.
I'm sure that their answer to that would be because if they didn't cap it, they think the prices will skyrocket.
But they're growing it. They're giving it a...
I understand, but they think the prices are going to become so crazy that the average poor working like middle class won't be able to afford anything.
No, markets have always adjusted for that.
Yeah, but no one's going to go for that. If basic necessities become ridiculously priced, no one's going to be happy about that, and they're going to want the government to slam it. They will. Even Republicans are going to want them to slam it.
When do prices go crazy, though, for basic necessities? They typically go that way when the government creates shortages.
Well,
look at the gas. When you look at gas lines, even during Hurricane Sandy here in the Northeast in the late 70s, you and I are old enough to remember those gas lines, alternate, odd, even days. Who creates all that shortage? Who creates all that shit? Yeah. The government. That's not a natural market inclination, all right? Mm. Yes, there are going to be times when things get too expensive. It's like rent control. I'm against rent control, and someone's like, well, you're against affordable housing? I'm against anything where the government sets a fucking price because it's a false market. You don't know what the market is because the government isn't allowing it to take place.
Right.
So if apartments in lower Manhattan skyrocket when you get rid of rent control, then guess what? They'll go down somewhere else.
Probably.
All right. And now, like you said, somebody just has to watch the parade. Not everybody can live in lower Manhattan. I make a nice high six-figure salary, Judo Lariam. I can't afford to live in Manhattan.
Yeah, neither can I.
All right. But that's my point.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't view it as a failure that government has to step in for it.
No. But I think with rent control in this city, the main reason they actually did it is because they were trying to attract workers. You know, people were not coming to the city. They were moving out in the burbs. They felt that if they kept the prices down, then it would be more attractive to people. That goes back to like the 1920s. That was one of the reasons they did it. But I know what you mean. You'd be better served with just a market.
Why is Ed Koch paying, or when he was still alive, he made great... He wasn't shy about it. He was in a rent-controlled, rent-stabilized building. He was paying like $80 a month for a prime location.
Yeah.
It boggles the mind.
Well, but there are the rare examples where it's funny, like that guy from the Rent's Too Damn High party.
Oh, Jimmy McMillan.
He's got the rent control thing. He pays like $200 or $800 for some like apartment on the east side, which is hilarious.
As much as I love Jimmy McMillan and his personality and the fact that he had the balls to run for mayor, obviously being a whack job, he's fucking wrong. You shouldn't have rent control. It's never worked. It hasn't worked in Boston. Hasn't worked in New York. Hasn't worked in Philadelphia. It's a piece of shit policy. It's horrible. The government, no matter what it is, rent control, farm subsidies, gas, whatever. Anything the government tries to run and regulate, they always get the price wrong. The market is much, much more efficient in sending price signals than the government ever will be.
Yeah.
That's like trying to figure out the exact moment when the chick will be the hottest to suck your dick. Who the fuck knows?
Right now.
Right now?
Right
you want
now.
Me to go right now?
Yes. Phil?
But honestly, seriously, it's actually... Thank you for that. I think you blew out my eardrum with that one, Judo Larry.
If that blow.
Oh, look at that twice.
No, but seriously, if you had to predict when the chick would be the hottest, would you be able to do it?
No.
See, I'm going to be very proud of myself.
All joking aside.
Yeah, all joking aside, I just thought of this analogy because it's perfect and I haven't heard it from any other economist, right? A woman will send you signals, or a dude if you're a chick or another gay guy, I guess. You'll get signals from your sexual target that tell you when they might be open to sex, right? They'll blush. They'll flirt with you. They'll touch your arm or something, right? They'll give you that, or maybe they'll it's some chick stare. Will just rip off her skirt and point to her pussy. Whatever, you know, she'll give you the signal, Judo Larian.
That's a pretty obvious sign.
Right. But can you imagine now if you always had a chaperone and you could only talk to the chaperone to tell you when the chick is ready to fuck you? And that chaperone isn't necessarily talking to the chick?
Is the chaperone the government?
Yes.
No.
Right? And you'll say, hey, is she wet right about now? Well, I haven't checked, but usually, maybe in a day or two.
By law, she should be by now.
Yeah. By law, she should be fucking dripping wet out of her panties by now. And then you go to check the finger popper, and she's dry as sand.
By law, she's really wet, and we're up here in Boston, and then some hippie comes over and cock blocks the whole fucking thing. That's fantastic.
Isn't that a great analogy? Can I send that? Do you think Milton Friedman would have liked that analogy?
No. In fact, I think if you send Milton Friedman something sexual about his AI, he would think you're a disgusting pig. He's a very conservative, nice guy.
But no, it is that principle that the government just can't pick up on those signals fast enough. And half the time, they pick the wrong signals. And even if they had the right signals, they would always have an ulterior motive to try to manipulate them for whatever purpose they felt. Even if they had the best of intentions, they would try to manipulate those signals for their good intended works. Do gooder works. For example, to allow people to afford milk more easily, to allow people to buy corn more easily, whatever they think the subsidy level should be, right?
Right.
But you can't command and control that. We know that. All the Soviet societies tried that, all the socialist and communist societies, and that's why they fail.
Our government does a lot with oil. They do it a lot with agriculture.
Yeah.
Those are, I think, the two biggest ones from what I always hear.
They do it on everything else. Like, you know, they do it with energy. You're absolutely right. They do it with agriculture to no end. But even when you look at things like we said, like why is a pack of cigarettes, not a carton, a pack of cigarettes in New York cost $16?
Is it that much?
Something like that.
I'm so...
It's horrible. Go into Times Square. Try to buy a pack of cigarettes.
I have like no idea.
I don't either. It's just from my smoker friends.
I know it's like upwards of 12, 30, 14. It's up there.
It's horrible.
Look, like I said, they think it's guaranteed money because people smoke.
Right.
They think it's a way to discourage you from doing it, which they want to do. They do. They actually want to discourage you. You know, that's part of their bullshit with their health. Yeah, you know. So, yeah, but no, but they shouldn't be. So, I mean, I'm assuming that you can actually make a pack of cigarettes for
nothing.
For $4 tops.
For nothing.
I mean,
get rid of the minimum wage.
Yeah,
get rid of the minimum wage, and that shit'll come down to like $3 a pack.
Yeah.
I guarantee you.
Yeah.
Even the farm minimum wage is too high probably for those things. Mm-hmm. And even that, when you know they build machines and you get rid of the workers. So it's so efficient now. It probably costs them next to nothing. It probably spends them the tobacco companies probably spend more to lobby Congress and to fight against laws than they do against producing and marketing their products.
Right.
Right. Yes. So, I mean, if in a totally free market...
There's a lot that goes into it. They have to protect themselves from all kinds of lawsuits.
The lawsuits only exist because the government has set up these stupid laws.
Yeah, they set up all the like class actions.
But why should the government set any shit up? If someone wants to sue for whatever reason... Like, there were some people who sued back, I think, in the 50s and 60s because they claimed that the cigarette companies never told them about the dangers of lung cancer and emphysema.
Right, I remember that.
And if you know what, back in the 50s and 60s, actually you see some of this shit on that show Mad Men.
On Mad Men, they're constantly smoking.
They're constantly smoking, and you would see some of the, and I think this was actually proven out, some of the tobacco executives would say, oh, these doctors say it causes cancer. Let's find some of our doctors who say it makes you healthy.
Right.
You know, and they would always throw those contradictory findings. There's no proof that it causes emphysema and lung cancer.
Yeah,
and stuff. I mean, it sounds silly to us
bullshit,
now.
Yeah.
Right. It sounds silly to us now, but there were people who believed it. So people in those circumstances may have a legal right to sue because they were lied to. That's different. But now when cigarettes clearly say on them, this shit will make you sick. It will cut short your life. And here's the 8 different things that it may cause you.
Right.
Now, if you still choose to smoke it, and you're a consenting adult.
Right.
Okay, so let's have a cutoff age because we don't want kids doing it potentially, all right?
Right.
Fair enough. 18, 21, you pick the fucking age. That's fine. But once you're a consenting adult, let the market pick it. If somebody in North Carolina wants to sell an $8, like anything else, why does wine have different price points? Because we understand there's quality behind a label. There's quality behind a process, a particular region, right? Wine from Napa Valley is going to cost more than wine from fucking Podunk, Missouri.
Wisconsin, yeah.
All right? And there's a reason for that, because the product is better.
Right.
It's built up a reputation. Why? Can you imagine if the government would have to dictate how much each bottle of wine would cost? And they would have to have a government rating and a government grading system?
Ever been to Europe?
Unfortunately, yes.
Yes, I have.
Because I know they do that fucking shit there.
Yeah, they sure do.
And look where they are.
Yeah, they're a mess.
People who think Europe is better off, go fuck yourselves. Go live in Europe. Being an American, go try to live in Europe for the most part.
Yeah, let me tell you something. Unless you have a lot of money when you go over there,
yeah,
it's not what you think it's going to be. That's why, like, for instance, when you see a lot of these stupid actors go over there, that's all right because they're already double-digit millionaires.
Yeah.
And, you know, even if they lose money getting it converted to pounds or the euro,
right,
they're still rich. They still want for nothing.
Oh, it's true. No matter where you are in the world, if you're wealthy, your life is going to be a hell of a lot better probably than if you were poor.
Yeah.
But that has nothing to do with capitalism or socialism. That's just the way it is. If you're talking about what is the most effective way for the common people to escape poverty, to escape crushing, grinding hopelessness, the best way is to let them establish what they need to do in life to get ahead.
Yes.
That's all. It is. It's been proven throughout history. And I don't know why we constantly seek to improve on the model. It's already as good as it's going to get, Judo Lariam.
Yes. Capitalism is definitely the goose that laid the golden egg.
Oh, constantly. You're absolutely right.
No.
Hey, you know, just to expand this a little bit. Prostitution. Because we talked about it before. Why can't we have dick-sucking palaces everywhere in New York?
You do. They're just hidden.
No, but I mean, like, in the open, legal, where it's not a crime.
Something? You got people think it's an eyesore. You got people who don't want it near kids. You got, like, even Iceland, which I've been to.
Yeah.
Remember I was telling you? Yeah. They banned strip clubs.
No shit.
Yeah, and now they're going to ban porn.
You're kidding me.
Iceland is becoming like Iran, like some of these half-assed countries. They're going to ban porn. I just read an article on it the other day. They said to protect our children.
Holy shit.
So concerned about its prevalence and its easy access on the internet and everything. So they banned strip clubs. I don't know how long ago they did that because I think I was there in 2005. I'm pretty sure they had one. I remember seeing a truck going around advertising for
something.
That must be just from a couple of years ago. But I just read an article the other day. They're going to ban porn because they think it's targeting children.
Even though he worked for my favorite president of all time, like what the Mies Commission did for anti-pornography was horrible. You know, stepping in to make it illegal to, you know, destroying the First Amendment and all that. It was absolutely horrible, Judo Lariam.
Yeah, but you know what? You know why he did that? Because, look, who have I always been knocking in the Republican Party? The religious right. He was one of those guys.
Right.
And the reason they do these things is not even because of economics or anything. They think it's dirty. They think it's filthy.
Right.
They think it's wrong.
Right,
and if you notice, there's always that common denominator with these people. They don't like homosexuality. They don't like abortion. They don't like porn. They don't like strip clubs.
Right.
They don't like this. What do all those things have in common? They're all sexual things.
Oh, I was going to say Jews, but I guess that was the wrong answer.
No, that's the answer to the next question. Who's to blame for the fact that there's been a ringing in my ear? But anything that's sexual, like they already take whatever the most uptight, like, you know, position is that they're, you know, look, there are just people who are enormously uncomfortable with sexuality and like strip clubs. And they think they're dirty. How about that fucking idiot who worked for Bush, who was the attorney?
Ashcroft.
Yes, the attorney
Ashcroft,
general.
Yeah.
He had them putting sheets over the statues.
Unbelievable.
You know, because he didn't want to see their statue titties.
Unbelievable.
How much of a fucking uptight douchebag do you have to be that actually offends your morality?
Right.
My God, what's he going to do if he actually sees a real woman naked?
Oh, my God. But that's the whole point. I mean, just so people don't get the idea that we're always pro-Republican or pro-right-wing. This was one of those darkest things for me. I've always been a fan of free speech and censorship of any form, but especially on the part of the government where they impose something via law to censor you and censor thought is absolutely disgusting.
Yeah.
More disgusting than the most horrific two girls, one cup porn that you can think of.
Yeah, but it's you know what it is? It's the right wing version of the nanny state.
Absolutely.
It's the, well, we have to protect you. We got to do this. It's making you,
go
it's
fuck
better for
yourself.
It. Don't you think it's no different than when liberals talk about guns,
yes,
or anything, or seatbelt laws. They're
right.
All, see, this is what have I always been telling you? Both parties are very much in the telling you what to do business.
Yes, they're statist.
And it's terrible because there are people who are voting. But look, these are the two parties. Nobody else is getting elected. But
right.
Like libertarians get like 2% of the vote. Independents like the same. So there's nobody really to stop them.
But that's why you. That's why I'm not in favor of starting a libertarian party. I'm in favor of taking over the Republican Party again. Why are we listening to these fucking assholes that tell us we have to become more like Democrats? That tell us that we have to become more like liberals? Every time we try to do that, we lose elections. We do not come out on top because people don't want that.
Well, I can't say we because I'm not registered Republican. But I know what you mean. But the problem, in the Republican Party, you got the religious guys who make me ill.
Right.
And then just liberals make me ill. So,
right.
You know, that leaves like a very small portion of Republicans who I think are worthwhile.
Right.
Like your Giuliani's,
like
your Christie.
Who? Like me.
You suck.
Oh.
Like guys like Giuliani, guys like Christie.
He's starting to disappoint me now, Christie.
Nah, you know what it is? He ran afoul of them. But look, if I was in his shoe, I would have cared more about my state after the hurricane.
I would have too, but what? But
that's his responsibility.
But he showed me he had too much of a temper. Because if he sat and read what they were saying, they wouldn't vote on. I see.
You're fat. You're supposed to be jolly.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He has way too quick a temper.
Okay.
Look at me. I'm jolly.
No, but you know what it is? They gave him a lot of grief.
Fuck yourself.
They gave him a lot of grief because they think he helped Obama.
Yeah.
And that's nonsense. Romney wasn't going to win.
No, that wasn't the part that I had a problem with. I had a problem
that's what the party leaders had.
Yeah, the party leaders are going to, he's not going to run for president.
No, he's too fat.
You're absolutely right. It shouldn't be an issue, but it is an issue. Nobody that fat will get elected president.
He's not going to run also because, look, like I just said, he's not a Huckabee. You know, he's not a religious kook.
Right.
That's what they're looking for. That's what they're looking for.
To some extent, you're right. I agree with you. To some extent, you're absolutely right.
You know, they're going to go back to their roots of, well, this is what got us elected. They're going to want a religious conservative. I don't even know that Marco Rubio is going to go anywhere. I mean, he's too young.
Right. Well, look, we said the same thing about Obama. Too young, too inexperienced, too black.
Did I say that? I don't know.
We all did.
I definitely said he's too black, but I don't know if I picked his youth as a...
But look, he was barely... Well, how old was he? 42, 43 when he got elected?
He was black.
Yeah. All right, General Ariam, you know what? I think you were absolutely right on that one.
He's black.
He is. I'm not denying that.
Are we ending the show?
Or he's half black.
Well,
he's half white.
Yeah, and he's half young. So he's
he looks like shit now. He looks like
he's been dyeing his hair since like the second year of his administration. You know why? It happens to all of
those presidents.
It's such a stressful job. Your hair just gets white all of a sudden.
Bush now looks like he lost 20 years off his age. Did you see him?
Yeah,
he looks younger again.
Much better, yeah. The job's insane. The job's insane.
Can you imagine the shit you constantly have to hear?
Oh,
I mean, you and I have to put up with each other, and that's bad enough. But like, the shit he has to constantly.
No,
hold on.
Oh, delicious! Oh, yes. Oh.
Oh well. All right.
At any rate,
we should end it on my fart because I know you love those.
Because it's John's version of the drone. My rights have been violated. This motherfucker talks about coercion. You're forcing me out of the room.
Oh, sorry about that, brother. At least the government didn't come to do it.
Yes, no, just your hairy ass.
All right. You've been listening to The White Riot Show. Don't forget to catch us on twitter.com/White Riot Show, facebook.com/White Riot Show. Go to Stitcher. Go to iTunes. Peace. Search for The White Riot Show. Also go to WhiteRiotShow.com. Double pimping today. Beginning and end. A sandwich.
Peace.
For Judo Larry M. This is Big Fat John.
Hey, Judo Larry M. Peace.
Peace. Peace. Peace.
Join us every week at www.whiteriotshow.com to follow the latest exploits of Big Fat John and Judo Larry M. This is Mark, the man with the golden voice, and my testicles are killing me.